The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
Ever since I became number one contender, his days as WWE champion are numbered, and he knows it. And now at Backlash, I will become WWE champion. Chalo.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 245, part 2. And we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. It's a place where you go find all your great wrestling needs and, of course, a lot more. Also, don't forget, please go subscribe and rate, review at any iTunes subscribe for Wrestling to the Max, or, of course, any other place you find our podcast, if you use Stitcher or Podbeam or whatever. Make sure you go do it now. And also, just to let you guys know, if you can find us on YouTube too, you know, there's another route you can go. So plenty of places to find the shows. We appreciate everybody who's already done that. Well, I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Of course, with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And guys, we've got a great show ahead for everyone. We've got some quick hits that are going to be really fun to talk about. Of course, scandals are still happening, especially when it comes to people getting hacked. That's right. Charlotte got hacked, and photos are out online, and it's going to be a doozy to talk about. Plus, we're also going to be getting...
Victoria got hacked again.
Oh, boy. Jeez. There you go. Plus, we're also going to jump into some talk about Anthem and ITV, some of the things going down there, as well as we're going to be talking about Billy Corgan and this NWA thing. Yeah, there's still news involved with that, trust me. Plus, a lot more interesting stuff, as well as tonight we're going to get into some Impact Wrestling. We've missed like two of those shows besides the one this week. So 3 weeks we've got to kind of compile in one, but guess what? It's going to be fine because we got, you know, a lot of storylines to get into. It's going to be fun. It's not going to be too long. It'll be just right. And we also have New Japan. So we've got a packed show for everyone, and we can't wait to get into everything that we have to offer tonight. So, you know, besides that, I mean, I think we have one last thing to say, and that's Superstar of the Week also. So I forgot about that almost. I almost blanked on that because we actually did a Superstar of the Week on a Monday show because we missed last week. So this week we'll, you know, get two Superstars of the Weeks in one. So, guys, why don't we go ahead and jump into this? We got lots of stuff to talk about, so let's not delay too long. Let's go ahead and jump into some quick hits right after this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All right, now let's start this thing off right? And I don't want to be like this, but this is the way we got to do it because I think it's one of the most impressive things with people. They're still thinking about it. It's pretty fresh on everybody's mind. And that's this whole Charlotte scandal. And we just got off this whole scandal with – a lot of, you know, nudes being leaked and all these videos from Paige and all that stuff taking place. And now, you know, there were rumors out there before that Charlotte had them, but now we finally have some that have come out. And she's even admitted that they're hers. She went on Twitter and, you know, basically said that she got hacked and all that. So these are legit. These aren't fake like Alexa Bliss's. These are actually real. But, I mean, guys, I mean, this narrative continues, right? This is not something that's stopping. Honestly, we've talked about this in the past. I feel like it's something that's going to continue on till the end of time, unless social media dies, or maybe the Armageddon happens and then there's no social media. I think it's going to happen. What do you guys think? Paul, I mean, what do you think about all this craziness?
I mean, you see all these other people you work with getting caught in these scandals. Like, you would think, hey, maybe I should go back through my cloud and maybe take some of these away and erase them and whatnot. And nope, doesn't do it. Just becomes another victim. Like, come on, guys. Figure it out. If you don't want these out there, take them off your cloud, take them off your phone, and then just don't take them anymore. Not hard.
Paul ain't lying. You know, honestly, it's hard because, again, this isn't stuff that people should be doing, right? You should not be hacking people's... I want to put that out there because then they're going to think that we're just, you know, blaming her or shaming her, right, or whatever for doing it. It's like, look, this is private. It doesn't matter if it's an iCloud or not. You're not supposed to hack into people's clouds. Because the cloud is there so that you don't have to take up space on your phone, on your hard drive, on your whatever. You know, in the case of Victoria, she had a sexual video, much like Paige, get hacked along with a ton of different pictures. Some that include exes and whatever, very much like, you know, what Paige had to go through with Brad Maddox. So, and these are apparently from when Charlotte was in NXT. So, again, another case of these were a long time ago, you forgot about them, didn't think about it, even though, like Paul says, you probably should go through your cloud and make sure that you don't have any of these pictures and just, you know what, erase them. Now, I will say that Charlotte's don't look like she's there sending those to some guy. They look like she might be doing that just to kind of see how she looks, or because she's obviously into the very, you know, like making sure her body looks right and, you know, the very much the athlete person. So, you know, she's not smiling and doing all that kind of stuff in them. So I'm just putting that out there. It doesn't look like it has the same purpose as some of the other leaks that have happened. And it's kind of, either way, it's unfortunate for her, but some point somebody's going to learn one of these lessons of just be safe. It's okay to be more safe than sorry when it comes to these things. And what's bad is that, I mean, I don't know how they're going to really react to this, right? They may just say, look, it's an unfortunate incident, whatever, we can't really do anything about it. But she has the WWE logo as the back cover of her phone. And they're all in those pictures, and it's like, well, if WWE didn't want to be associated with those, they are now. So you can't mistake what Charlotte does for a living.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's one way to get you in some hot water. But it's not like our dad hasn't done probably much worse.
Oh,
right?
My so. God!
I bet Vince is just
throwing the stuff of her dad, man, we'll be here all week.
Yeah, that's very true. So we won't jump into that. But no, I mean, you guys have brought up some great, you know, thoughts on this because it's very true. This is the world we live in now. And as long as you have stuff on your device, as long as you have not deleted things off your cloud, someone's going to get to it, right? You need to start downloading these to devices that don't have internet access. You know, go find you a hard drive. If you're just wanting to keep it, put it on a hard drive. Don't, you know, plug it up, you know, leave it unplugged until you're wanting to view it, then plug it up. Download it on devices that are not hackable. It's just a smart way to do it if you're going to keep them, you know?
I mean, what are you downloading it to? Your DVD player?
No, I mean, you're like, you know, the removable hard drives, you know, just something you plug in when you watch it and something you unplug. Right?
Okay.
So I kind of use one for my DJ stuff, you know, because I don't want to put it on my laptop. Guys would be able to hear me right now. It'd just be so slow. There's other ways of doing this. We've talked about this already with the whole thing with, you know, all the stuff we just mentioned with Paige and all. So I just think it's kind of sucks, you know, for privacy reasons, for all these other things going on. But not only that, now you have someone we're talking about that is legitimately in these photos, and not only that, it's someone who's live and on our TV screen every week. And, you know, I hope that doesn't affect her. Hopefully they don't want to punish her for this. Hopefully it's just something like, you know, hey, this happens now. So, but who knows? We'll see. Let's talk about some other things that are kind of interesting going on in the world of wrestling right now. Let's talk about the fact that Billy Corgan and his whole situation with NWA, we're kind of getting more details on that and finding out that, you know, he does not have any connections with the tape library. He apparently did not want to be a part of that at this moment because it's not really beneficiary. So that means, you know, he's just going to be working with NWA in some other areas, and he will, you know, along with his purchase, you know, find his own path. We still don't know what he's planning on doing with NWA, but we do know for right now, Dave Lagana is going to work with him, and they'll be doing that for a little while. So I don't know. I mean, this is interesting, Sean. I mean, what's going on here? I think this is at least clearing up a little bit more than what we had last week.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we don't know anything other than the fact that, okay, WWE still has a shot at getting that Paul Bosch library at some point because Corgan doesn't own it as part of his deal. Other than that, I mean, Dave Lagana's just saying, well, we don't really know. We may not even run any shows at all. Not that the individual NWA things won't run shows, but that Corgan will not be involved with running an NWA whatever promotion this is going to be at all this year while they plan and do all that stuff. Because you got to remember too, like, who's left out there for them to sign that's going to be a big name that's going to, you know, oh, this is going to drive ticket sales for people to come see the NWA. You know, that's the thing too, is okay, you can go and get all these different kinds of, you know, any talent that's out there, but you got to think about ticket sales and driving people to the show, and if you don't have the talent there, you know, that's a problem. Unless Billy Corgan's going to start doing Smashing Pumpkins concerts in the middle of halftime is Smashing Pumpkins concerts, then, you know, maybe he can get it to work. I don't know.
I mean, I think this at least does tell us where he's at as far as in his head. Like, it's not like the TNA deal where he was still worried about booking a show week to week or whatever. He's very focused on just completing the purchase and making sure he owns it before he gets to that part. So that's something new to talk about. And then, you know, I mean, it's not so much about him finding, I think, big names, because I think if this stays buzzworthy, then he'll get some interest there. But I mean, there's talent out there for him to get. It's just he's got to find it and you got to develop it. Now that seems to be how indies get by now, is not only booking guys who, you know, are mainstays on the independent circuit, but finding you people who aren't quite known yet, turning them into something and then launching their own careers that way. So It's a tricky business, but I mean, it's not like he has to worry about booking television right now. He's just got to worry about buying it and then figuring out what he wants to do with it.
Yeah. And that's the very much the truth. And, you know, I just want to know what his, you know, thought process is with this because of the fact that, you know, he is starting from the ground floor in a way here, and this is something that's going to be really all on his shoulders. Whereas in Impact, yeah, he had a lot of responsibility, and sure, you know, there were a lot of people pointing fingers at him, but he also had someone else beside him to point fingers at, with Dixie Carter. And so, I mean, I think he could safely hide behind the thing of, well, I'm not in complete control, even though I do have somewhat control in this business. And now, with everything being, you know, laid upon his shoulders, is he going to make some decisions that are really safe? Is he going to take a ton of risks? Things like that to get NWA's name out there again and to get noticed again instead of being as it is. And that's really just kind of a name, but a name that's not really that well known unless you're a fan of old wrestling and you kind of are familiar with the brand in general. So he's got some potential here. It's not about that. It's just that, you know, it's going to take some really serious work to get this thing to where it's really relevant in the world of wrestling at this moment, you know? So can he do it? That's the big question for me. Can he do it? And is it going to be worth all that money? Because that's a ton of money to invest. So let's talk about, you know, some WWE financials here. We had some things go on in this first quarter, and that, of course, led up to March 31st, so from the beginning of this year. They actually had their subscribers to the network go up. Yeah, that's right. It was at 1,300 plus now, or excuse me. Oh, excuse me, that's million. So I'm making sure I'm reading this right. I am so sorry. But anyway, they were up this past quarter, which is great. And, you know, that's really good for the network. Plus, we had profits way down, which is interesting, but the revenue were up. So that's another part of this process that's kind of interesting with all this business talk. Plus, we also want to let you guys know that they also had some kind of interesting things when it came to spending. They spent a ton of money on the UK tournament as well as non-wrestling content. And that shows you kind of the way that they're working things now, right? They've got a lot of things that they're trying to get done. And that UK tournament was big to kind of set up for that new UK show that they're hoping to do down the line. Plus, all these non-wrestling shows on the network, you know, that kind of help get people in. You know, we also know that, you know, the Edge and Christian show is coming back and other shows that are coming forward that people were involved in and really enjoyed are going to get a chance to see those shows. And that's what WWE spent a lot of money on. And the one thing that I think all of us are going to find that's kind of interesting here is that pay-per-view revenue was actually up. And that's interesting because, you know, now with the network, why is anybody buying pay-per-views anymore? But apparently people are still doing it. They're ignoring the whole $9.99 thing and saying, hey, here's my $30. Here's my, I don't even know how much they charge for it anymore. I'm assuming, I mean, it could be up to 60 still. I have no idea. You have the network. But I just think that's very interesting that people are still spending that kind of money on pay-per-views, you know? So that's a few of the financial things here. Do you guys have anything you want to say about any of these financials?
They said that the revenue went up to from live events, but that's because they're running more live events now that they have two brands. So that also might be a reason to explain why profits are up, but revenue is also down. So interesting little bits here and there. They're focusing globally to continue global expansion. It costs money. I think you're seeing that here.
Yeah, I think, you know, they have to spend money, and spending money on the UK tournament, spending on, you know, having all these shows for the network now, the extra show, the extra pay-per-view, all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's other factors, obviously, that I don't really want to get into because this is not a business podcast. But, I mean, look, what's important is the network number went up and that, you know, the subscribers are still going up even after WrestleMania, so that's positive. And then, that's as of March 31st, so you still have like a month and a half that's not accounted for there. We don't know what the number is right now. But, I mean, month difference, that's decent at least. And yeah, I mean, that's the pay-per-view thing is interesting, right? Because you'd think that it would just keep going down until there's like nobody buying it, but it goes up somehow. There's still people buying these things at $50, $60 a pop, you know, $40 a pop. So That's pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I just it's a new day. No pun intended.
When it comes, I had to stop myself from screaming. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that in there, right? But no, I mean, this is, you know, it's so funny that that's still even an option, to be honest with you. I really thought that they would have kind of, you know, got away from that. But apparently, you know, people are still buying it, so why get away from it, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, really, on the end of the day, I mean, as long as WWE's making money, I know they'll do whatever it, you know, takes. So. Well, that's pretty much the kind of quick financials for the first quarter here. We kind of don't have a ton more news, honestly, because of the fact that, you know, some of these other things have kind of taken place in wrestling, and that's kind of what we have on our sheet here. But Sean, is there anything else that you saw on the newswire that you kind of wanted to share with us this week? Or,
well, according to Mr. Meltzer, we could be seeing Adam Cole as the guy sitting in the crowd at NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Ooh. So those New Japan rumors aren't really so true?
You know, it's one of those where I think it's going to be up and down, right? It's hey, this is what it is this week, this is what it is next week. Like Paul talked about, them not being on, you know, him not being on the tour probably kind of lets him know, like, well, I mean, if this is going to be how it is, where there might be a tour where I'm not on it because they have so much talent right now, and, you know, Mike Logan's not even on the tour, and he's, I mean, he has his Glory Pro stuff and all that, whatever, to keep him busy, but, like, just, you know, this dude's a big deal in New Japan, and he's not even on the shows. So, think about Adam Cole, who, you know, he's, people like the Bay Bay thing over there, but it's not like he's just lighting the world on fire when he has, it's almost like Cody. It's like, okay, great, you had a match, let's go. I'd say it's, you know, we're on to the next thing. So, I still say that his whole deal is still much more based for WWE than it is for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I said it before, if WWE and NXT came calling, Adam Cole's going to answer that collect call, you know? So, yeah, if he did entertain New Japan, that would have been cool, but I just, if NXT, if anybody from that we've seen on the circuit, if WWE came calling, they've usually picked up the phone. So, no surprises here if he does show up at TakeOver.
So, are they going to use 1-800-COLLECT or 1-800-AT&T? Or?
I think they're going to go 1-800-FELLA.
And that works.
That's been, you know, something they've been, you know, paying for but just never used again. So, why not use
right.
it? Right?
Why not?
Yeah. It's like that old number you just sit there and have, like the, you know, when you still have the landline. You know, nobody ever calls me, but I got it over here.
Oh, man, that's so true. Oh, man. Well, you know, another interesting piece of news that we got to talk about really quickly here is this whole Anthem and ITV situation, right? And apparently they are not going to do shows. Sean, can I explain what's going on there in that situation?
They couldn't agree to the tapings, like starting the promotion, and, you know, remember, they're starting this whole thing. It's not, oh, we already have it and we're just like TNA, where when they just had to find somebody to pay the money and okay, we'll just continue our story. They're starting the entire thing, and they, both sides have to agree to whether it's money, whether it's whatever it is, and they couldn't figure it out, so they just canceled it, and that's not a good sign. You know, WWE did all this stuff to make sure that they were ahead of the curve, and they might end up being the just doing that to prevent really nothing. So, I mean, I guess they can still be competing with What Culture, who's still doing, you know, bonkers numbers. But still, I mean, their big deal was to, I guess, mission accomplished, sort of, even though it's not really there. I don't think this really has to do with them, but I just think it's funny. Like, oh, everything's going. We got this figured out. We've partnered with Impact. this is going to happen, and then, oh, wait, we're not even doing our first tapings. What's going on?
I wonder if What Culture is still making as much money as they were since the whole YouTube thing came crashing down on them. So that would be something I'd be interested in seeing. But I shouldn't be surprised, but I am a little. It felt like at least half of the team here was ready to go, and then the other half is just like, well, never mind. We're good. We don't want it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, hilarious. It's always going to be a hard thing when you're asking the second biggest network in the UK to go, hey, let's make a big deal with wrestling again. Considering how, you know, outside of WWE, wrestling's still just, you know, not... I mean, the UK scene's hot and everything, but it's not like, oh my god, everybody's just making mega millions and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was really kind of curious how that situation was going to work out in the first place, and it's not really too surprising.
Oh, and also the ticket prices were... Ticket prices are not being considered for why not happening, but a lot of the, you know, UK fan base were saying that they overdid the ticket prices... And that they can pay less to go to Preston City Wrestling Show and watch all these guys.
What? Wow. That is nuts. Man, no wonder. No wonder this is all going down. But yeah, I mean, we've got that piece of news. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we really got that's kind of pressing here. I don't think we do. Sean, remind me if we are. But I think that's kind of all the stuff that we have for this week, for quick hits this week. But yeah, I mean, we still got some other great content to get into. Don't forget, we're still about to, you know, talk about some New Japan talk. We're also going to get into some Impact Wrestling later in the show. But before we do, I got a couple things that I want to touch on. And one of those really quickly is Sean, I don't think actually jumped in. He might have. I have not actually got a chance to do the SmackDown review show, listen to it and everything. But I just want to really quickly ask your guys' opinion on what you thought about Aiden English this week on SmackDown, because I hadn't had an opportunity to have that discussion. But I just want to say, really disappointed. I was really looking forward to Aiden English kind of doing his own thing, doing the singing thing. Kind of made me happy because I got visions of back in NXT. But him crying, that kind of, I don't know, guys. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was just kind of, ugh.
There's no crying in wrestling, Gary.
Apparently not for me, because I hated it. I thought, man, I was finally getting my Aiden English back. Now they're throwing me for a loop.
This I felt seems... like they did an okay job covering it on Talking Smack. A little bit like Renee and Shane were more like, you know, he's in touch with his feelings because he's an actor and everything. Like, oh, well, makes sense.
I don't know, SmackDown just doesn't seem like the show to just have that kind of gimmick, but I hope it's just a one-week thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's also, let's be honest, it's hard to... For the WWE mainstream audience to take a guy that just sings seriously, you know, right? And then he loses. So it's like, well, I mean, how much do you really care about the dude? So, you know, I don't think, I mean, they're working with Breezango. They have the Fashion Files. I mean, I think they can only do so much with only a certain amount of jobbers at a time. It can be going places.
I guess so. I mean, that makes sense. It's just, man, I mean, I just kind of felt like it. It to me, it kind of like, are they trying to already hurt his character already? I just kind of thought that people were going to think that was super dumb. But I don't know. That's just me.
I mean, did we really think his character was going to just do great things? I mean...
Well, I mean, not, you know, be the best of all time or anything. I'm just saying, I thought to myself that he was going to do something that was at least, you know, comparable for him to be a deal in the mid-card somewhere. I mean, I'm not saying he was going to be, you know, the next Intercontinental Champion or anything like that, but the next U.S. Champion, I guess, just to say. I just thought, you know, he would at least be someone that people would actually take serious for a minute, you know, but I guess not. I guess that kind of went away. So... Who knows? That's just me and my high horse. I want Aiden English to do well. But anyway, well, you know, trying to think, I can't remember what I was going to bring up right now. If I remember it later, I'll bring it up later. But, you know, we got New Japan to talk about. So Sean and Paul are going to take you down that road. They've got some great shows to get into tonight and really kind of recap what happened this past week. So let's go and do that now. Let's talk New Japan, guys.
Yeah. Hold on one sec here.
King of Sport. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right. So New Japan's Wrestling Dantaku 2017, the ending of these, all these shows kind of smashed together here. Of course, always the May 3rd show here for New Japan in Fukuoka. And I did not, because, again, of time constraints here, trying to get this show in so we can actually record today, because if I had to watch the other matches, we would have been here all night. So I didn't, the first match that I watched was the, that's what I get for not looking at the actual thing while we're going through this. The first match that I kind of watched was the Finley and Cody. Then I skipped that next match, and then I watched all the title matches. But you probably watched everything. Any highlights from the matches before then?
The opener was really good with the Yoshihashi and Will Ospreay taking on Takahashi and Chase Owens. The Takahashi is Yujiro, by the way. Lots of solid build between Chase and Will as far as best of the Super Juniors go, with Will looking particularly strong. The six-man's fun, as you would think it is. You get a lot of Tiger Mask W stuff in and all that. I also would recommend the Chaos and Suzuki gun if you have time, too, just because of watching Goto and Suzuki continue to throw hate bombs at each other in the form of fists. It's just wonderful.
Yes, that is... Look, it's... Sorry, I got people deciding they want to message me at freaking 2:30 in the morning. Anyway, you know, I feel like I'm glad that they're getting to do the rematch here. Hopefully they get to have a better match at Dominion. And if they can keep this up in the undercards, it'll be really hot for when you get to the main event matches. Speaking of not so hot, I'm sorry, I know it's going to sound like I just don't like the guy, but once again, Cody has a match, and it's kind of just, it's all right. I mean, he had the Alabama Slam on the floor, which was pretty awesome, but, you know, and we knew he was going to win too, which probably doesn't help. I think I liked his promo better than the match, actually.
Yeah, bigger and stronger is an interesting term for him to use. So I don't exactly know who they're going to go with there. But I didn't think this was awful by any stretch of the imagination, but I was disappointed. I was expecting something better. Instead, what we get is sort of a usual Cody match wrapped in a bunch of chaos that never really conforms into anything that I would call a structure. So it's Cody and David out there doing moves, and if you like both their moves, you'll like this.
I'm usually not a big fan of guys out there doing moves, but yeah, I mean, there is some cool moves in here. Just, again, it sucks because you would think that with Finley as good as he's become, and Cody can still, when he's, you know, motivated and he's good, and he can put on the show as well. It just kind of sucks that this was kind of what it was. But it really was just there for him to have a match, cut the promo, and let's see if, you know, whoever the bigger and better is supposed to be here for him going forward. I don't know if you want to talk about Jushin Kushida and Hiromu and Naito before we get to the title matches here.
We should, because Hiromu once again pins Kushida with the time bomb and continues to have his number. This is continually interesting to me, because One, it's very clear that they want Takahashi to either be number one, number two, or to switch positions with Kushida in the junior division, and it's much needed. But do you think this hurts Kushida at all, and do you think he gets the Cinderella story during the Best of Super Juniors this year?
I think he might. It makes a lot of sense, so I don't know why you would be doing that to Kushida, who's still very much viable, especially when you have all these guys that, you know, we don't know what Will Ospreay or Ricochet could be doing a year from now. You know, and you've got a bunch of guys in that tournament that, I mean, like, nobody likes Taichi. So, you know, and Taka is, he's a lot more interested in kind of just helping the young guys at this point. And so that junior division is kind of what it is. And Kushida and Hiromu are, like you said, the 1-2. You've got to have Kushida be strong. But I like this. Like, I like the fact that you're really having him put the screws to Kushida. So you're wanting to root for Kushida when it comes to this, you know, that tournament. And I think it's a good story. So if they want to go with it, they could totally just have Hiromu win the whole thing and, you know, nothing happens out of it. But I have a feeling if you're really doing this, it's because you're telling the story with Kushida. I mean, and he's got, I didn't want to jump the gun, but I mean, he's got a very, very, that hit the block that he is in is not as loaded as the one that Hiromu is in. So, you know, that potential is certainly there.
Do you want to talk blocks, or because they do announce that next?
I was going to wait till the end, but
okay.
We went ahead and just talk. So it's, they absolutely just, for one, it's really awesome that they got two guys from CMLL this year. Sadly, we had to get all of Suzuki Gun in here, which, you know, you can take or leave some of these people. You don't, because I guess because Rocky and Beretta are the junior tag champions, they left them out. No Young Bucks either, because they have so much talent going on. But, you know, you do have Jushin Thunder Liger, who has announced officially, even though we thought last year was his final one, officially this is his final Best of Super Juniors. So he could have a nice little run, or he could get the Tenzan run, which he wins a couple of times, and that's all he does. Tiger Mask, who's amazingly been in this thing 16 consecutive times. Ridiculous, the amount of times. Taguchi, again. Desperado, or sorry, I'm looking at this thing like a million times wrong. But, so you get Liger, Ricochet, Dragon Lee, Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, who's the guy from ROH, Taichi, Taka, and Hiromu, all in the A block, which that's absolutely ridiculous. And then you get the anomaly that is Taichi there. But you do get two Suzuki Gun guys having to go against each other, so that's going to be, do we do the finger poke of doom or something there, or whatever they do? But yeah, I mean, this is crazy, the amount of awesome matches you could possibly get here.
I mean, as you said, sort of Taichi being the wrench in the works here. Everybody else here against everybody else is something I would want to see. So that's pretty phenomenal. And
too,
I mean,
too bad we didn't do this right when they announced it, because Paul was angry at the fact that Taichi was in this thing.
You look, I mean, you're reading through the list of names in A block, right? I mean,
yeah.
just looking at the list we have here in front of us in this order, it's Jushin Thunder Liger, it's Ricochet, Dragon Lee, Will Ospreay, and then you get the surprise, Marty Scurll, and then Taichi. Motherfucking Taichi. it's awful. But, I mean, I like everybody else in the block, too, so who do you pick to win out of this? Because, my God, I mean, short of throwing nuclear bombs at the end of their fists, I got no clue.
That's amazing, though. Like, you get a Dragon Lee and Hiromu rematch again. You get Ospreay and Skrull. You get Ospreay and Ricochet again. I mean, God, they just like, when the B-Block comes up for rotation, you're kind of just going, man, well, I'll just watch these and not really care, and then we'll just go on to the whenever the A-Block's on again. Like, just, that's almost what I feel like. But, man, you know, I really feel like Liger's going to not get one of those. He's not getting the Taguchi run. I feel like he's getting more of the Tenzan run.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You got too much. It's too loaded to just justify that Liger's going to be running through everybody. I think Dragon Lee's going to do well. I don't think he's going to win. Will Ospreay's, I don't think they're going to have him win twice. I think Hiromu is just going to, it's going to be close. Like, he's going to lose some, but I think he's going to win the block, at least.
I think they use this to set up Will again, just because they purposefully stayed away from that match with Hiromu. And if he doesn't win the block, then I think Will is one of the guys that beats Hiromu. But I certainly think Will Ospreay is one to watch for sure. And a lot of people are picking Marty to come out of this too, which would be insanely interesting.
That's one of those, I wouldn't be surprised. And we've seen Kyle O'Reilly do really, really well in these things. So it's not out of the stretch that he gets a lot of points and he's in the mix, certainly. But, oh man, that'd be really, it would be interesting. The match with Hiromu is going to be great because you got two, like, big villains going against each other.
I want to see Hiromu sell those finger breaks, too.
Yeah. That's going to be, that block is just going to be so great.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. May 17th, people. Get ready. Of course, again, don't expect, all of the shows will not be live. You'll be watching just the match, which is fine. You're going to get so tired of watching the tag matches anyway, that you'll just be happy to watch the tournament matches. And that's all you got to do. Kushida, Desperado, Tiger Mask, Taguchi, Bushi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Volador Jr., and ACH, now Independent Man. So, you got some fun stuff here, too. Kushida and ACH getting to go at it. You know, Taguchi and Kushida, who they're friends. Bushi and Taguchi getting to continue their thing. Volador being in there again and doing just flipping over everybody. So, I mean, you got the downturns of Desperado and Tiger Mask and Kanemaru in here, too. So it's kind of like, all right, you got to take the good with the bad.
I don't outright hate Despy and Kanemaru, though. Like, they can both work when they get the opportunity to. They're just not, you know, they're not the top ranks like the A-Block is here. But there's still a lot of interesting matchups here. Volador and ACH is going to be something incredible. Maybe right up there with the combinations that Ricochet and Ospreay can make with each other. I'm interested to see Kushida and Bushi go at it again. I really enjoy them going at it. Tiger Mask is going to be a bit of a downer, though. Age is starting to catch up with him, and you can see it pretty obviously now. So I don't know exactly what to expect from him out of all this either. But there are some interesting matchups to be had here. It's not, you know, the star-studded, you know, glitz and glamour that is the A-Block, which is, I mean, close to godliness. So.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Kushida even gets the, like, he loses a couple and then he gets the miracle run or whatever, here, just to kind of continue the whole, oh, he's just beaten down from all the losses and all that stuff. And Taguchi's going to be interesting because, you know, he had the big miracle run last year.
Right.
So, you know, let's see where this is all at when it gets to May 17th, but continuing on with this show, I love the face paint from, see, here's the thing, like, you had two contrasting face paints, before starting this match, the absolutely terrible Like, Tongaloa puts Gallows to shame on a whole new level of terrible face paint. And then you have this really cool, actually really fits them, the War Machine, the War paint from Hanson Rowe, makes them stand out even more than they already do, you know. And then this match was actually really fun, getting past the joke that I made there. Even Tongaloa looked pretty decent here. They had some actually... Gorillas of Destiny are, again, they just continue to be improving. Obviously, Tama Tonga is much better than his brother, but they had some, like, actually smooth tag moves here. And I liked the multi-chop thing from Kojima. Some of the stuff was just so much going on. I'm going for the lariat, and then Kojima just absolutely smashes Ro. Like, that was awesome. And Tenzan getting to put in a little thing for his brother there, Mr. Hanma, with Makabe sitting at ringside on commentary. That was really cool. So it was small, but it's just cool to see. And, you know, War Machine retains, and then you get Gorillas of Destiny beating them up. So I guess you're getting a War Machine Gorillas of Destiny thing at Dominion, which is fine because there's just not a lot of tag teams in this thing right now. But I thought this match was really fun.
Hey, I thought this was a lot of fun too. It's basically tough guys doing tough guy things for about 12 minutes. Which is pretty great. War Machine gets the fallout on Tenzan, if I remember correctly. You know, they send it home from there. I'm looking forward to War Machine and Gorillas of Destiny. I think it'll be another fun match. War Machine's doing really well in Japan, and that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I mean, it helps a lot that, you know, Tenkoji gives him respect every time, and they do the whole bowing thing and all that stuff, too. Just, they're humble warriors, these guys, and they're going out there and showing it every time, just smashing them, and the crowd enjoys it. So, I'm just happy that they're getting a run with it, and they're not. It's not like Gorillas of Destiny having the titles for 6 months or whatever. So glad they're giving War Machine this run here. You need somebody new doing something. I don't know what they can do about finding more heavyweight tag teams, but they're going to have to do it pretty soon here, because once they beat Gorillas of Destiny, which I hope they do, who's out there, you know?
They're going to have to start sending combinations from the stables again. I mean, LIJ, Bullet Club. Like, there's combos out there they can throw in here. They just haven't for whatever reason. And I guess it's just because they don't want them to look desperate, but you kind of are at this point, and something at this, for at least for War Machine, is better than nothing.
I mean, I would love to see a Sonata and Evil tag combination here, but one of the big reasons why they haven't is because they've been teaming with Bushi to chase these never open way six-man tag titles forever with Tanahashi, Taguchi, and Ricochet. Team LIJ wins once again. I feel like these things have flip-flopped constantly. This is another fun match. Just so much stuff going on. Taguchi's hilarious with his... He's supposed to be getting one of the LIJ members going in his ass, but instead his teammates are getting run in his ass, and then he gets beat up by Team LIJ. So he gets his just desserts there. I did like the stuff he does where he makes him run, and the Sonata's just like constantly running. Anyway, Tanahashi was fun here. Getting to look good and just until you know your team takes a loss. Ricochet was just amazing as always. That dude is just talk about elite level wrestler. Him and Sonata need to have a match. Like, seriously, that would be awesome. But yeah, Team LIJ, I think, as we expected. So far, I mean, that's the thing. This show was very much as expected, right? So You still had some good stuff here, no doubt. But it Team LIJ winning, I think we kind of all could see that coming.
Yeah, especially ahead of the War of the Worlds crossover with Ring of Honor coming up in the next couple of days. This makes a lot of sense with all of LIJ going over there. So loading them up with some titles can make for some fun pairings over there too. But I would watch Ricochet wrestle a wet paper bag in the middle of a Walmart parking lot. That's how great he is. And I'd still probably pay like $30 to sit front row or whatever. So this is, like Sean said, this is another fun match. LIJ versus Taguchi Japan or Tanahashi and Friends or whatever you want to call the face group that keeps facing them. It's always fun. They keep the combinations fresh, even though they've had at least 20,000 matches with each other. And the story just sort of continues to grow and grow, and it's not much other than that the faces just don't like what LIJ represents. That's really all it is, and they just continue to keep having standout match after standout match.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's the thing, right? We can't say anything about LIJ because every time they're in a tag, it's a fun tag. There's stuff going on. You're interested. And, you know, these Taguchi tags always end up working with whoever is there. And I'm all for it until it just, and I don't see it getting boring, but eventually, it's going to be interesting how they do this now, because, you know, you're going to have Bushi, being in the Best Super Junior. So do you have them lose it again on a house show or something? Before you get to that, because that'll probably be one of those things that you'll see get defended as you know, something else on the card aside from the Super Junior matches. So we'll see how they deal with that. But then you get your two big matches people have been waiting for, of course, Kenny Omega and Tomohiro Ishii. And, well, you knew they weren't going to disappoint. This was just absolutely wonderful. Omega just absolutely taking everything that Ishii had to dish out and surviving. Freaking Ishii pulling a damn Rana. My God. Ishii. I know he did it last time too, but it's still pretty awesome just to see him do it. You know, it comes down to the wire constantly. Just there's just so much stuff going on, and it's just some one of these things. Like, you need to watch it. You know, Omega gets the One Wing Angel and wins, and we all kind of knew this was sort of a without saying number one contenders match. It turned out to be that way, but man, this was just awesome.
This is a great match to watch, especially if you've been watching New Japan since Wrestle Kingdom this year, because it pays off on so much. Kenny Omega, for one, beats Tomohiro Ishii, who had Omega or Okada's number in the G1 last year, which everybody keeps bringing up that he still deserves a title match, like this guy right here. Secondly, Omega hits the one-winged angel, and that equals death, because now Ishii managed to escape it and not get hit by it during the New Japan Cup match. He eats it here and loses, and that's something Okada did not take during the Wrestle Kingdom match. So that continues to play a big part in these matches. And I would be remiss to say that Kenny Omega did his usual dive over the guardrail to the outside, except he landed on Ishii's head, and I thought he died. But he didn't, because Tomohiro Ishii is the toughest man walking the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, you already have said that his head is made of cement, so I mean, he could definitely take somebody landing on his head. I mean, you've got two of the world's greatest talents on the ring together. You know they're going to make magic. They do it again. And Kenny Omega gets to look super strong, waiting what's going to happen in this final match here on Wrestling Dontaku. Kazuchika Okada defending against Bad Luck Fale. And look, you know, I think we all knew Okada was going to win. They really made Okada have to work for it. He had to pull out a Rana himself, which is not something that he ever does. And, I mean, he had to hit two Rainmakers on Fale, and even three, and finally put him down, really making Fale look strong. Fale almost hit the Bad Luck Fall on the outside at one point, which was like the announcer was like dying, like, oh my god, no, not right here, he's gonna die, just don't. I think Okada, you can call him the champion of Fall 8 matches. He knows how to get the best out of the guy, and I think he does it here again.
I think it's just because Okada is willing to take so much punishment, and it makes sense, especially in the story they're telling with this title reign, as we keep bringing up that he keeps getting his butt handed to him and somehow comes out with the championship still. And once again, does it here, even though it takes three Rainmakers and about a half dozen unexpected moves. But he gets there. He challenges. He's the one that sort of challenges Omega at the end. And that's something interesting to think about, because this is the guy who gave him everything he wanted and more at Wrestle Kingdom, and said he almost died during that match. So more interest there. And I, you know, it's not like this is anything super great to write home about, but this is still maybe Fale's best match of his career. Like, this is really good.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have, like, this star-studded amount of matches, but it's usually Okada or Tanahashi that are getting those out of him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Okada does it once again, so I agree with you. If it's not there, it's, you know, probably another Okada match or something, which is saying a lot. I think Okada just kind of wants to prove that if he beats Omega, then he's completely, utterly, doesn't have to worry about really anyone. He's the man.
Except Ishii.
Right. I mean, you hope that Ishii is brought into the picture here at some point. You know, you have that whole stable thing. Are they going to break that or not? Of Okada just finally says, or Ishii just finally says, "Hey, man, I want my title shot. We can still be pals, but I want my title shot." You know, and I think it's just Okada's been all about surviving and getting through these matches, and he kind of wants to prove that, look, I beat you, I can do it again, and I would not be surprised if he does beat him again. And I mean, it's going to be an interesting story to tell. Obviously, you've got the U.S. shows coming up, so mm-hmm. you can make the case for Omega winning too. But I think Okada can sell those just fine. You don't need an American guy to be a champion in order to worry about. And they're already sold out, but to worry about, like, just people don't care. They want to see the authentic New Japan show, and having the ace as champ coming in, I think, you know, I don't think you can get any more authentic than that. So I think it's really up in the air to me. I don't think I don't think you can really make a case that, like, Omega has to be champion going into those shows.
I don't think you have to make a case for it from a drawing perspective, but I think from a story perspective, the line has to be drawn for Okada somewhere, right? I mean, he's continually in these absolutely punishing matches. And somewhere he has to get caught. Otherwise, is the payoff going to be post G1, where he has to go through not only everything he went through as champion, but a grueling tournament, and then he loses before the dome? Like, that would be a little silly. So I think here on the second biggest stage on the New Japan calendar in Osaka Joe Hall, which is where they're more diehards are. Oh, I don't want to say diehard. They're more vocal fan bases. I think doing a title change here with Kenny makes a lot of sense, if not just to sort of tie a bow on the story and start something new going towards Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, it just sucks because you could have made the case that Okada could have kept it in order for him to eventually face Shibata, you know, again, mm-hmm. and then Shibata's right. the one that wins. But due to the fact that, you know, we don't even know if he's going to ever wrestle again, let alone just to make any kind of plan for him, it's kind of like sitting there going, well, I mean, you already had Naito, he's kind of out of that picture, you're not going to do Tanahashi again, it's Omega and Ishii and then, like, yeah, everybody else. So, you know, Omega's kind of like that only guy right now that you could see. Okay, he beats Okada, and then what do you do after? Who's Omega going to eventually lose to? You know, how do you start thinking about what that means. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with Shibata going through what he's going through, it really leaves him in a hole of you don't have a lot of options right now. And it's just not that I don't want to see it, because again, it's not like he has bad matches or anything, but Okada going in as champion again for another consecutive time, I mean, that seems like a lot there.
I'd really love to see Omega and Naito main event the next Wrestle Kingdom, personally. I know that might be a tough sell for something that appeals to a lot more casual fan in Japan, but boy, that would be a killer main event.
You are in Tokyo, though. You're gonna get almost a split reaction, probably, for the Naito fans and the Omega fans that he has there. Mm-hmm. So it could be interesting, really. I'd like to see it. I agree with you. I think that's something different. You don't have Okada in the main event again and have somebody different there. Have Omega and Naito and see what happens. So, yeah. I mean, that's wrestling to talk of. What do you think about a score here?
I you know, there's a lot to like on this show. There's a lot to be very meh with on this show, but I didn't, you know, it's not a bad show. It's not a good show. It's just a show. No, I'm thinking 7.5.
That's kind of where I was going. You have, you know, the one great, great, great match with Omega and Ishii, and then you have some very good stuff afterwards and in between. So, I mean, all the title matches delivered, so that's something you got to take into question of when you have your four matches in a row delivered. We're not talking about splitting the hairs that you do at Wrestle Kingdom or whatever, but still all very good, all fun. You know, the first two before Omega and Ishii were fun, you know, enjoyable affairs. You had a few things in the undercard that were good too. Yeah, I think 7.5 is fine there. So,
yeah.
All right. Gary.
Well, let's move on with the show. Great job with that. And we are moving on now to some Impact Wrestling talk. And don't forget, we're also going to crown a superstar of the week. But now it's time to get into this thing, guys. Let's talk Impact.
TNA Impact Wrestling.
All right. Impact. One of you guys got to do it because I did not watch the show. Hold on. I got to find the thing. Hold on. Well, I can just go through this and you guys just carry on the conversation here. So, looks like they start. So what we're going to do here is, obviously, just to be transparent with people, obviously we have missed 2 weeks of Impact aside from this show for various reasons. So for certain storylines, we're going to go back in time in the Wayback Machine, take the TARDIS, and look at two things, 2 weeks worth of stuff that's been going on and kind of talk about it and whatnot. And if it's not really that important, we're just going to kind of go through that part of the show and move on. So, you know, just letting you know what's going on here. So you have Mr. JB, Jeremy Borash, and Josh Matthews going at it again because, well, you know, we got to start the show with this crap. So Josh Matthews does not tolerate bully announcers. Really, guys? Really? Okay. And, Borash, you have a limp dick. Really? Okay, guys. Josh, Josh Matthews reads a memo. Apparently, JB has been suspended and removed from the announce team for attacking Josh Matthews last week. Matthews then makes fun of him. And then Scott D'Amore and Pat Kenny arrive to take away JB Borash. Look, Josh Matthews being just an ass here, so that works out for his character, I guess.
I don't care. I really don't. I look at this, I'm like, I mean, Josh is a dick, but I mean, where's this going? Where's the payoff? We had a big tag last week. That should have been it. It wasn't it, guys.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I've heard this before, and I may even agree. This is a long way to go, but they're going to probably do this whole, you know, well, GFW versus Impact Wrestling, and Josh Matthews will probably jump over to GFW, and it's just like...
Oh, my God, somebody jumped over to GFW. Cry me a river right now. Like, who gives a crap?
It's, you know, and once again, and we'll probably talk about this later on, but I look at this whole situation as being really nonsensical only because no one knows who or what Global Force Wrestling is. And so now we're supposed to care about all this stuff. And then we're also supposed to care about a commentator, like a feud here. I mean, it's just, it's annoying and it's dumb. It just really is.
You know what, though? Like, at this point, they have a better opportunity if Billy Corgan didn't, like, have a roster of doing the NWA versus TNA because there's the history there of TNA formerly being part of the NWA and all that kind of stuff, you know? And, like, that would actually be sort of interesting if they could tie in all the history and everything. But, like, GFW, like, what the? Come on now. Jeff Jarrett, like, come on, just get off your own ego and let it go, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he has to think that him leaving TNA and then coming back after GFW went nowhere has to matter for something, and this is his way to try to make it happen.
Oh, boy. So, hey, we get Trevor Lee and Matt Sydal in a match that doesn't even go 5 minutes. This doesn't make any sense. Didn't you just have this like really great X Division match last week, and then, hey, let's just go back to the same old what we do with the X Division?
You're also looking at the 427 show, not the one that happened today.
Ah, I'm sorry. I didn't know that we are looking at y'all had all the cards here.
Yeah, because I originally didn't know what we were going to do until we got... Until we were about to start show. Yeah, it's no big deal.
So, well, there you go. We went back in time the wrong way, people. I'm sorry. So, we did, speaking of what just happened, Matt Sydal did have a match with Eddie Edwards. And this actually was well worth your time. They got 15 minutes to start off the entire show, pretty much. And they basically erased the what I was going to say from last week. So, pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, last week was Matt Sydal's debut against Trevor Lee. That was pretty much what that was. And unfortunately, they picked the wrong guy for that to happen against. But Trevor Lee does get in some offense, and it doesn't make Matt Sydal look overly great. So, there are problems there. This match, however, fixes all that. Matt Sydal and Eddie Edwards go out there, have a great match. They use the feud with Davey Richards in the post-match to write it off as he and Angelina come out to attack Eddie and his wife Alexis and attack Eddie's knee with a chair. So that way he has a reason to be off-screen now while he goes and gets knee surgery, and everything's sort of tied up in a nice little bow for now.
Yeah, you know, and that... That whole thing is, you know, it's halfway interesting. I mean, because, you know, we've seen this also have that build. And but it's also, to a point, I think they've kind of overdone it a little bit. I don't know if you guys agree, but I kind of think this is kind of like, oh, man, they kind of just should have ended this.
I mean, the street fight they had didn't really solve anything. They kept on fighting. So, I mean,
yeah, I guess I just don't want to see it.
That's fair. I mean, there would have had to have been a mixed tag in the future before the knee surgery situation came up.
They've had too much conflict between the two women that you don't have some kind of mixed tag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those that makes too much sense.
Yeah. And is Eddie Edwards' wife an actual wrestler? Or is she training or something?
No, she's an actual wrestler.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, just, so she, like, I'm guessing she's not one of the more well-known wrestlers, I take it.
Just... I think she works a lot in the North, or did work a lot in the Northeast. I can't remember.
Fair enough. So we go on to talking about one of Paul's favorite people, Magnus. And he says that he wants the main event Slammiversary with that GFW title that means absolute bullshit. Nothing. Just nothing. So, you know, pretty much Matt Morgan comes in, you know, the blueprint. He wants, he says that he should be main eventing. Well, guess what? They're having a GFW title match tonight. All hail Bruce Pritchard, who decides that that's happening. And speaking of GFW, the GFW Women's Champion, Christina Von Erie, she's having a match with Sienna. And, well, this was just, well, you know. This women's division has just been, I don't know what to say. It's just, I feel bad.
Okay, so Von Erie, or I don't know, maybe I don't even know how to say her name. Von Erie, thank you. You know, they actually presented her pretty well last week. But then you get into this week, which I guess it makes sense if you want Sienna to look amazing. They really kind of did a full switch here. I mean, I really thought it was going to be way more competitive. I kind of thought they were really, you know, saying, okay, Sienna, she got hers last week. She did her thing against someone she could beat. Now you take her out. And I don't have a problem with the storyline. I actually kind of like this. I love Karen Jarrett be suffering through Sienna. But it's just the effect of the matter of, you know, the whole match. I kind of expected more out of this match, per se.
Yeah, this was rough. Christina Von Erie gets a real nice video package last week and a squash to sort of make her look like she looks impressive and she, you know, she's here to take on the world. And then week two, she's suddenly losing to Sienna, which is fine, I guess, because Sienna's involved in this big feud and she, you know, she's around the top of the ladder and Von Erie may not even be here long term. We don't know. So, you know, for moving the title and getting it on Sienna, and I'm assuming working towards her and Rosemary at some point for a unification bout, it's good enough to get there.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. And, you know, she gets into it with the Karen Jarrett too, which kind of furthers that storyline. And I like it. We're doing something with them, even if it is like somebody against an authority figure or whatever. It's just, I can't really care about Karen Jarrett as the face authority figure of the Knockouts. So it's just like, all right, let's just have these matches with Sienna and get it over with at this point. Eli Drake ends up complaining to Bruce Pritchard. So him and Patron end up being set for a match where Eli Drake is going to put his title shot on the line. So that ends up being your main event of this show. And this is actually a good match here. Except for, we got to have the stupid, oh my god. I don't know who was watching Patron's matches in TNA and just told him, yeah man, just keep using that double stomp move. That's just great. Let's just keep doing it. Aside from that idiotic finish that he still uses, this was a good match. And again, you know, good way to send the people home with the main event. With Mr. Patron, I guess, being your number one contender now.
I believe he's the number one contender to the GFW title shot because he had won that before. I think it was last week or the week before, one of the two. Not like it's really much to brag about, but he's there, I guess. This is fine. Like, I mean, it's a match you would, I think this is what people expected to get, as far as what you wanted from these two. So I had no problem with this, and I mean they're all on the El Patron train right now. So once again, no shockers here, and I don't hate this.
Yeah, I mean you kind of expect this to be the case, like Paul's saying. So it wasn't overly great, but you know you really can't hate it either because you know the direction they're going, what they want to get out of this, and. You know, that's to get Patron over. So they did that, and there you go. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to get past that kind of stuff, even if you're not a Patron fan.
Yeah. Look, I think we knew from the beginning when we saw Patron, they were going to be behind him. It is what it is, you know, and so far at least they followed through with that. So, you know, that's that's fine. I do love Lashley just... He gets interviewed and says, oh, everybody's fighting over the GFW title. Well, that's because that's all they can do, and they're all losers. And he's just going to wait for them to be done with all that. And, you know, he's just going to whoop whoever it is that wins because he doesn't give a shit about the GFW title. Basically, in those words, like, man.
You know. No, it doesn't make GFW look all that, you know, great. But at the end of the day, I mean, it makes sense, though, because, you know, why would he worry about something that is not part of his history, right? I mean, he's only worried about the title that he's won before.
Yeah. I don't think I could have said it better myself.
Yeah. So you get the, I forgot we should have talked about this when I talked about the Bad System, but you get Magnus and Matt Morgan, and well, I could have really, you know, cared about this match if it was for Josh Matthews just being absolutely insufferable during this. You know, Magnus and Matt Morgan were never going to light the world on fire, but Josh Matthews didn't help at all.
I mean, these are two guys that Jarrett specifically brought back in, so I would assume he thought he was going to get something out of them, and if this is what we're going to get, then maybe we need to rethink our options here, Mr. Jarrett.
I mean, Magnus and Matt Morgan having a match, I mean, let's be honest here. Neither one of them are just outstanding wrestlers or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They're trying to sell you on these guys matter, but it's just hard. It's real hard, especially when you're watching the match.
Yeah, I mean, plus Magnus has to do the low blow and hitting his finish for the win. So, oh yeah, heel Magnus.
Clearly, we've learned nothing from his run with Dixie Carter when he was the TNA champion. Into
God, that's so bad.
Did not truth. Matter as the champion because of all these shenanigans that he kept getting into, and, well, let's just keep that going.
Hey, EC3 squashed the guy, so that's good.
Yeah, that was good. I'll watch EC3 beat up anybody.
Yeah, well, you should. He's your close personal friend. I mean, my God.
It's true.
But, I mean, I do agree. I mean, good stuff out of him.
LAX wants to beat up them bitches next week. We get a video package for Rockstar Spud because he's wheelchair bound now. And addicted to painkillers. Because Swoggle attacked him last week. What the hell?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about LAX, which has been one of my favorite parts of the show recently. That street fight they had with Decay. The week before was incredible. It was a great way to send Crazy Steve off as they pretty much murder, death, killed him. They feel like they will beat up anybody and everybody. And I really enjoy that about them.
Oh, yeah. They're dominant right now. They actually have a swagger to them. I think people are getting back into LAX and really saying, hey, you know, these guys are... really believable. I mean, all the positive things I can say, it's got to go towards them right now and what they're doing. So I'm happy for them. I think that this can be something special if they continue on in their dominance and in the way they're handling things. Because, you know, sometimes these factions can get a little silly. And we saw when they had, you know, that Aces and AIDS, it got to be really silly and things like that. But this is not silly. This actually is kind of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. This is like a bright spot in a lot of weird TNA stuff right now. So watching LAX and the new LAX is just really, it's really cool to see them and them actually making a mark here. And hopefully they get to continue doing that, even though, you know, TNA is low on the tag teams at this point. But almost everybody is in wrestling right now. You know, I think the only thing we really haven't talked about, other than the fact that Josh Matthews even calls Patron Del Rio on the air, because apparently nobody has the edit button in TNA. Like, y'all can't go back and take that off? Come on now. So you do get Congo Kong squashing this dude, and then Braxton Sutter and Allie come in so that Sutter can beat down Kong, and Laurel has to tell him, not now. And this feud continues.
Yeah, it continues, all right.
I thought you loved this feud, Paul.
False.
It was something at one point. Now it's just kind of like, well.
They jumped a shark a long time ago from me. So, this is, I kind of point and say, this is what you get. This is stupid. I mean, Laurel, just come on. I do like the fact that she's with Kong and all that. That works, but just get out of the freaking dress. Just change. Be a crazy woman and something else. And then, you know, Allie, go find something else to do. You know, go. Come on.
They don't have anything else for them to do.
They need to bring the hammer down with Allie. Like, now-ish, because they just keep waiting and waiting, thinking people are still going to care, and they don't. They're very fastly losing interest.
Yeah, I think the Maria leaving kind of just really hurt that story. Because they just absolutely lost what kind of held that together, and also just, okay, well, now Allie's sort of just, okay, she's out here, and she's doing stuff, and she's fighting Laurel Van Ness, and people don't really care about Laurel Van Ness in the first place, so makes it hard to care about what she's doing too. Yeah, just this is that's your Impact for this week. I don't know if there's anything from the previous week I want to talk about, but
I mean the six man, but with Loki winning the X Division title. Was incredible, and that's very much worth your time. Lots of impressive moves, lots of big flippies, stuff that you used to see from the X Division that people want to see from the X Division. Thought it was really cool, especially them giving it back to Loki.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was one of the standout matches of these 3 weeks here.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, it was also kind of a cool little add in here when they talked to do the whole Sanjay Dutt situation and that impending feud with, you know, him as well. You know, I think that's kind of cool. So
we also got to see the Veterans of War, which is Crimson and Jack Stane, not Gunner, thankfully, debut. And they squashed somebody last week. What, you a fan at all of this idea, Gary? I mean, they're just veterans, essentially, is their gimmick, but
yeah. It's, you know, maybe not the strongest thing, but, I mean, I think it's worth doing only because of the fact that we really don't have a lot of that right now in wrestling, so, I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, I think it's fine.
I don't hate this either. I really like Jack Stane. I could watch him beat up people forever. Who's Wilcox, and they've renamed Crimson Mayweather. So I don't know if I'm a giant fan of the names, but, I mean, they're big guys, and if they ever have a match with the new LAX, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. I think that's the only stuff we didn't touch on that was big.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, there you go. So there, we kind of added in some of our two cents on some of the past, and of course, what's going on right now in Impact Wrestling. Lots of stuff going on, and maybe not to all our favor. And it sounds like we just crapped all over Impact, but it's just been a really, really hard show to kind of watch at times because there's a lot of transition, but there's also a lot of things it's just not clicking. But let's move on. We got one last thing to do tonight, and that is crown a superstar of the week. So we're going to do that right after this, guys.
Superstar of the week.
All right.
Well, let's start this thing off by giving a point over to none other than Braun Strowman.
Yeah, big old bad Braun got to beat up Roman Reigns and win their match with Payback. Even though he didn't get to look strong in the post-match shenanigans, he still did enough to earn a point.
Braun.
2 points.
Yeah.
Braun, there you go. 2 points. We are going to pass on over to Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho, even though he lost he ends up losing the U.S. title on SmackDown. He did win it on Payback, and there were two pretty good matches that he had with Kevin Owens.
And we got 3 points heading on over to Hiromu.
Yeah, Hiromu Takahashi had that amazing match with Ricochet at Wrestling Toyokuni, if I remember the name correctly. Absolutely go find it. Two guys working as close to reckless abandon and still being safe as possible.
We got 4 points going to my boy Naito.
Yeah, Naito had a tremendous match with Juice Robinson, where Juice looked awesome. Naito was awesome, and he retains the IWGP SC title.
And the person is no surprise to these kind of crowns. That is being crowned Superstar of the Week. With 5 points, Kenny Omega.
You know, this is the first time we've had Kenny Omega on Superstar of the Week. He has not been on before this. It's incredible.
No.
Hey, wow. No, never made the list. No, Chris Jericho.
This year or?
This year. He's never been on it.
Wow.
Oh, this year. Okay. This year, I understand, because they've kind of had him not doing as much as of since January.
Well, it's still fair. Either way, his match with Ishii was incredible, to nobody's surprise. Absolutely go watch it from Wrestling Dantaku. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. So, well, there you go. That is some points for Kenny Omega. Well-deserved. I mean, I am a little surprised by that, personally. I thought the guy had more points than that. But, trust me, he'll get plenty more. Don't even need to fear about that. I know this guy, and he's going to be amazing. But, yeah, that is our Superstar of the Week. Congratulations to Kenny Omega. But we are now done with this show tonight. I know it's kind of crazy, but we are already finished. We had a lot of great information for you guys. Really looking forward to seeing what's going to be taking place next week on this show. Trust me, lots of great stuff, lots of new news. I know it will be in our docket. Hopefully a lot more positive than things when it comes to the poor women's division, who keeps having all these leaks and all that. Liv Morgan, keep your clothes on. But anyway, we are going to be talking about some really cool stuff when it comes to, Raw reviews and SmackDown Live reviews and things like that as well. So make sure you go check out all that stuff. Plus W2Mnet.com. Make sure you go check out that, because it gives you all of our stuff, plus a lot more other great stuff. We got other awesome wrestling shows on our network. If you want to go check that out, W2M Network, you can go subscribe there. And of course, if you just want our stuff, Wrestling in the Max is where you go. Go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and go rate and review. So there you go, guys. What a great night. Until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Bye.
following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.